We had time on Friday. I got out of work early because I have a modified summer schedule. But anyway, I was looking through the MediaShout files and I found something really fun. So I thought I would start with that.
Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good.
Unlimited, anytime, anywhere minutes. Prayer, the power to connect, powered by God.
Can you hear me now? Good.
I thought that was really entertaining. And that kind of summarizes what we're talking about. A few years ago, when we were at Camp Pine Cliff having our retreat, Synergy, in 2015, so it's been a while, and if you're nerdy enough, you will be able to find the notes on it, like I did. Pastor introduced a book called Frequency by Robert Morris, which is why we have the little sound waves on the screen. It fit. The premise of the book is that God is always talking to us, and we need to tune into the right frequency to hear him. The video's great. Can you hear me now? But it was one-sided. That is, the person asking God, can you hear me? But was that person listening? Right, we don't know. It was just a 20-second video. So let's start with prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are always talking to us, that you never leave us. We thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to hear your voice. And we thank you for the reminder lessons that help us hear you more clearly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Think about radio stations. Back in the day, and I know some of us are old enough to know this, there was a tuning dial, an actual dial. To find the desired station or program, one had to turn the dial until the right station came through and came through clearly. Whether it was music, a radio drama, church broadcast, sports, or news. Now, of course, we have digital tuners that allow us to push the buttons up and down until we get the right station number. Then there's subscriptions that allow us just to type in a genre, you know, Sirius and Pandora, type in Christian worship, and there's 20 channels for that. Not quite the same as the olden tuner. I like that the series starts on Father's Day. Many of us view God as a kind and loving father. Of course, not all of our fathers were kind and loving, so it's something we have to learn about our heavenly parent. But it makes sense that a loving parent would never give up on communicating with us. We just have to mature enough to want to listen. For the most part, I grew up as an only child. I spent summers with my dad and his new family after he remarried, but most of my growing up years were spent with my mom. Time and time again, I was convinced that she had no idea what she was talking about. Only to realize, as I've matured, that there are a lot of things she was right about. And now is the time when I get to eat crow. All that time she was talking, I tuned out a lot of what she said, but I managed to hear it anyway. Does that sound familiar to anyone? May not be actively listening, but somehow it still gets in there and I still heard it. Do you think God might do the same thing?
Yes, most definitely.
John 8:47 says this, "He who is of God hears God's words." We belong to God. We have the ability to hear. In the introduction to the book, it tells this great story, and yes, I took the story, but I took my spin on the story. It just painted a really fun picture for me. Imagine hanging out with a bunch of sheep all day, every day, right? Shepherd tending the flock. One day, something different happens. A random bush is burning, but not burning. How could that be? Would you be curious enough to investigate? Or would you keep walking by? Did it smell smoky? Could you see the individual branches burning? What about the leaves? If they were burning, why weren't they consumed? I have a feeling it would be impossible to ignore something that was burning but not burning. It would be the most distracting thing in the area. I don't imagine there was lots of phone time or FaceTime or reading time. After all, how exciting could it be watching sheep eat? And then, from the burning, not burning bush, there was a voice calling out a name, a very specific name. How could a voice come from that particular bush? Well, pretty easily if you consider that it was burning but not burning. Something supernatural was happening. And way back when, it wasn't unusual for the supernatural to be recognized as the supernatural. What would your response be? Would you run away if you heard a burning bush call your name? Would you ignore it? So would you go on your way hoping not to be followed? Oh, there's a burning bush. Moses answered. He said, "Here I am." In Exodus 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Who spoke first? God. God spoke first. And Moses' response was, "Here I am." That was the beginning of the conversation. So that leads to the question, how can I hear God? The question gets asked when people want to connect with God on a deeper level and understand how to hear the voice of God. There is no simple, easy, magical answer. I'm guessing most of us won't cross paths with a burning bush. But that's the point of the series. Robert Morris says, "If you want to hear God's voice, then you must get to know God as a person. And this takes time and intention, much the same as it takes to know any friend." In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That is one tiny, short little statement, and three things happen. Three significant things happen in that statement. The sheep hear. What are they hearing? They hear God's words through his voice. I know it doesn't say God's words in there, but if we're listening, we're hearing something. So we're going to talk about sheep. Pastor has told us stories about when he was a boy. His brother used to help the neighbor round up his sheep and take care of them. But when the brother had something to do and Pastor was asked to fill in, the sheep wouldn't listen because they didn't know his voice. And then he had to run all over the field to try and gather them up. And because we've heard that story, we're able to get an idea of what that might look like. Especially when Pastor tells the story. I think one of the fun parts of the book, Frequency, is that it talks about John chapter 10. We should all be somewhat familiar, since the last series took us through the whole book of John. I also think it's fun we get to take a closer look at the chapter. There's always so much to learn from the Bible. There's something we need to agree on before we continue, though. God wants to talk to us.
Amen.
Can we agree that that's true?
Yes.
I can't imagine that God would create people in his image and leave us completely alone to fend for ourselves. In trying to put this together, boy, did I struggle yesterday. It took me all day. It was 9 o'clock last night before I was able to give my scriptures to Pastor, and then I felt bad. Because I sat at the table all day long, take a little break and do this, and take a little break and do that, take a little break and go lay down, because my hips hurt from sitting so long on the hard chairs. It was rough to put together. Then I decided I was going to look up sheep. I looked up sheep in the Bible, and I found a blog post, and it talked about how dumb sheep are. And Pastor has told us that. Sheep are dumb.
Very, very, very dumb.
The guy quotes a news story about how 1,500 sheep went over a cliff. They followed the shepherd. I don't know why the shepherd went over the cliff, but one sheep went, then the other one went, and all these sheep, they just walk right off the edge of the cliff. It's a tragic story, But there's a funny side to it. Only 400 of them died. The other 1,100 landed on the bottom ones on this soft, cushy pillow of sheep. 1,100 survived the fall. Is that terrible? It's tragic and funny at the same time. I had to share it. Aren't people like that?
Yes.
I can't imagine that I'm the only one who got asked. If your friends jumped off a cliff, would you follow them?
No.
I think that's a pretty common parental question. For these sheep, the answer was yes. But for most of us, we would think twice. With that being said, though, we have the ability to learn from those who go before us. And there are any number of ways to learn. However, God wants us to live by his voice. As believers, each and every one of us has a personal relationship with God. That's what sets us apart from the unbelievers. What makes us a Christian? We have a relationship with God. At some point, he asked the question, and we said yes. I would venture to say that there was probably no audible voice, like the one from the burning bush. There was most likely an impression, a feeling, a sense. However it came about, there was definite communication. Something reached out to our hearts, souls, and spirits for us to say, yes, I want to be part of this family. And that's communication. Any kind of relationship requires communication. And so that I wasn't mistaking anything, I looked up the definition of communication. And according to dictionary.com, definition number 2 is the imparting or interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information by speech, writing, or signs. Notice that the definition says imparting or interchange. It's really difficult to impart or interchange thoughts, opinions, or information with ourselves. That must mean someone else is involved. The book says, God speaks. That's biblical fact. The pattern is established throughout Scripture that God communicates with humankind. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He spoke to Noah and to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He spoke to Moses and to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And to all the prophets. He spoke to men and women, to Deborah and Ruth. In the New Testament, he spoke to Mary, Peter, Paul, Jude, James, and John on the island of Patmos. In the time since then, God has not gotten laryngitis. He hasn't decided to change his nature and become mute. God still speaks. And this can give us great confidence in life. The next big question is, who are you at your core? According to our book, the answer is sheep. You are a sheep. Sheeple. I think that's great. Hearing God's voice is not about something we do. Rather, hearing God is about someone we are. Hearing God is not primarily a behavior, it's a reflection of our identity. We hear God because of who we are and because of whose we are. John 10, 1 through 5 tells us, well, Jesus tells us, I guess. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. And as we have a niece making her way visiting, if there's a crowd of people, she's not going to leave Ginger. And we've seen this. She might venture out a little bit, and then she comes right back because Anise knows Ginger's voice. It's who she follows. It's who takes care of her. A few points in that passage, that Jesus enters the sheepfold directly. He's not sneaking in. He's not hiding behind anything. He boldly goes through the door. He has direct access to the lives of his sheep. And he speaks to the sheep. He calls them by name. Each and every one he calls by name. Jesus knows everything. I can't imagine. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering who's here. He leads them out. He starts to walk and they follow. If Ginger were to stand up and walk to the back door, Anise would be right at her heels. The sheep follow because they know Jesus' voice. And if you think about who the Bible was written to, the original audience in this case is the Jews, right? So are we included in those sheep? John 10:16 clarifies, if there's any doubt, John 10:16 says, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. So even if the main audience of the time was the Jewish people, the Gentiles are still included. Sounds like an inclusive message to me. There's only one flock. Even Paul says so in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Back to John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There was another translation that said, listen, my sheep listen to my voice. It's not the one that was in the book. I was looking for something else. And I thought, yeah, but we don't always listen. Just because we hear something doesn't mean we're paying enough attention to listen. So I kept here. Now remember, Jesus walked out of that gate, out of the pen, and he took his sheep with him. Have you wondered where we're going?
Yes.
Where does Jesus lead us? Psalm 23 gives us a beautiful picture. Jesus leads us to green pastures, to areas of provision and rest. He leads us safely through the dark valleys filled with troubles and uncertainties. He is always before us with his rod and staff of guidance and comfort. He prepares a bountiful feast of provision, even in the presence of our enemies, right in the very face of opposition. And ultimately, Jesus leads us to heaven, where we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where we're going. And if we listen and follow, we'll get there. There are three main truths about hearing God's voice. Our ability to hear God is innate. It's part of our instinct, something that we're born with. When we become Christians, we're born with the ability to hear God's voice. Whether we can hear with our physical ears or not, there's that heart-to-heart connection. The second thing is that our ability to hear God is learned. Just because you can doesn't mean you're great at it initially. The same way a child needs to learn language by speaking and listening, we need to learn to hear God. It's a process. For some people, it's easier than for others. I tend to be an overthinker, so I struggle. Was that me or was that you? It's a very common question in my head. But the third thing is that our ability to hear God can mature. The children who grow to speak and listen have to mature. When kids are little, they have no filters, right? First, they have to learn language. They learn who people are. They learn what things are. And then they mature and they learn to put sentences together. And then little kids will say, well, for example, one time we had one of Kay's nephews with us. He spent the night with us when we lived in Sugar House. And I don't know where Kay was, but he and I were sitting outside on the step and we were talking and we had been watching cartoons. And so we were talking about the cartoons. And in the cartoon, there was this woman who was really fat. It's a cartoon, right? Everything's exaggerated and hilarious. And she had this kind of pear shape. So we were talking about the cartoon. I said something about she was fat. And he turned around and he said, like you, huh, Karina? I was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess so. I hadn't thought about it, and I didn't expect it to come from a five-year-old. And yet, how do you argue with that? Well, yeah, okay. And that's how kids are. For Mother's Day, we were at my grandma's house, and my cousin had her three little girls there, and I was putting sunscreen on my niece and nephew. And one of the little girls said, are you a boy or a girl? I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and a hat. So I had, well, I'm a girl with short hair. And the other one said, like Grandma Linda. And it was fine. It was no big deal. It was just a question and an answer. And it is. It is that innocence. As we mature, we learn that it's not polite to ask those questions, right? It's not polite to stare. It's not polite to point fingers. And you most certainly don't ask a fat woman if she's pregnant, because you don't know if she's pregnant or fat. Those are things we learn in time. That's part of maturing. And you don't have, I mean, little kids will tell their grandma, how old are you? You must be ancient. And it's, yeah.
I say that.
That comes with relationship and familiarity. I used to call my grandpa old man. Hey, old man. When I grew up, my grandpa called me the big one. I was the biggest one in my family. All my cousins were stick thin and petite. And I was the only one who was healthy. So grandpa called me the big one growing up. So I got old enough and I was like, oh yeah? And I started calling him old man. One of my aunts got offended for him. You shouldn't call him that. And he said, come here, let me tell you something. She's not saying it as a slur. It's a term of endearment.
Yeah.
So I was very thankful that Grandpa put her in her place. Because it was Arthur. He wasn't offended, I wasn't offended, and that's just how it was. So we need to learn the difference between what we hear others say about what God says and what God says. Now, does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
So if Pastor stands here and he says, well, God says this, how do you know that's true? You need to do the research. You need to take the time to pray. You need to look it up in the Bible. You need to see that it matches up with God's word. You don't just take somebody's word for it on most anything, right?
May I comment, Karina? I know you're on time schedule. But there's one thing that Pastor said to me about 1,000 years ago. And it's something that has stuck with me. And I didn't understand it for a long time. It was, God has no grandkids. And I, for the life of me, could not understand that. And I looked it up, and I just said it to my two about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You cannot get to know God through me. God's relationship with you is yours. God has no grandchildren. And that was amazing. Once I researched it and understood it, and a blog helped me, because it was a youth thing. As you do as well as I do, I go to a lot of youth sites, Bible youth sites. But God has no grandchildren. And it is something that was just an eye-opening experience. When you say, how do you know? You look. You find out. What does that comment mean? Thank you for allowing me.
Open your book, you open your computer. Even when you open your computer, though, you have to be careful where you're looking.
Amen to that.
And still find a way to check it with the book. I have a note here for a conference example. I was going to look it up, and I didn't. One year, we went to a conference, and there was this great message from the pulpit. And this speaker was dynamic and engaging, and he was wrong. And he said he was introducing a story, and there were two names that were similar, and for the rest of the message, he used the wrong name. But how did I know that? Because I had read the story. I knew the story, so I was able to say, The message was fantastic, and the message stands and is still fantastic. You just have to fix the name in there.
Yep.
Attach it to the right person. And that comes from mature hearing.
Yes.
Maturity is important. Hebrews 5, 13, and 14. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I mean, that could be a message all by itself.
Amen.
I don't even know where to go with that one. Maggie has a baby. The baby drinks formula. That's it. She's still growing, but as she grows and matures, she needs more and different nutrients. Our kids, to be big and strong, need to eat their vegetables and proteins. They need to stay hydrated. I mean, you have to take care of your body. They're not still drinking milk and that's it. And they're not still reading their little kid cardboard Bibles either. These guys have full-on teen Bibles with fun little stories and stuff on the sides and the margins that help explain what they're reading. And they have parents like JD and Heather who talk about all this stuff, and godparents who can help explain and talk about these things.
Amen.
So it becomes a family project.
Amen.
As they mature. Ginger likes to, well, she used to, like to pick up books from downstairs, from pastor's bookcases. I know she really enjoyed one of the books on the Holy Spirit and fell in love all over again.
Amen.
That's part of maturing and becoming mature. And then that becomes part of who we are. But part of maturity is realizing there's not one formula for hearing God.
Amen.
It probably won't happen the same way every time. And it's important to remember that God can speak to us anywhere, anytime, through any medium.
Amen.
So he can talk to us through other people, through the radio, through music, through TV, through movies, through nature. Anything we're open to seeing and receiving, God can use. Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, however you look at it, I was browsing through Facebook, and I came across an article that fits perfectly with this message. Imagine such a thing. So, yes, God can even use Facebook. The name of the article is 7 Questions to Help You Recognize the Voice of the Shepherd. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's 4 or 5 pages, but I highlighted some of the key points that might help us tune in a little better. And again, there's John 10. Here we go again. Though the shepherd cares for many, he is intentional about each one. His job is to never lead them astray, and their response is to simply listen and follow. When we know that God has our best interests at heart, we can trust his leading and follow his voice wholeheartedly. With this in mind, here are 7 questions to ask yourself to determine if God is speaking to you. Remember, is that me or is that God? How do I know this? 1, does it line up with the word? First way to know if God is speaking is to align the voice you hear with the word of God. The truth is, God will not go against his word.
Amen.
The second thing is, does it bring condemnation? Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. The Lord will remind you that your identity is not in your trespass, not in your sin, not in your mistake, and he'll encourage you not to do it again. That's conviction. not condemnation.
Amen.
Number three, does it reflect God's character? When God speaks, it reflects his heart toward you and other people. If there's a voice that contradicts God's unconditional love, it is not from God.
Amen.
And how do we know? The best way to know his character is through relationship.
Amen.
Not just that one-sided God, I want, but stopping to listen as well. Number four, does it challenge you to do better? We must be willing to have ears to hear when God wants to speak, even if we don't prefer the messenger God uses. It's that being open. It's hard because we put ourselves in bubbles, and I don't want to hear from Richard today. If he said, nope, I'm not going to receive that from Richard. Fortunately, there's a part of me that's smart enough to say, shut up and listen. Because there's something important that Richard has to say. God desires for us to live a life that is righteous. He will challenge us to make every effort to be holy. No matter how hard we fight, God's still going to be there.
Amen.
Number five, does it cause destruction? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 in the New Living Translation says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Amen.
So remember, the question here is, does it cause destruction? Does this thought steal something from me? Does it steal my strength, my positivity, or my desire? Does it kill, or will it kill me or someone else, emotionally, mentally, or physically? Could it destroy something important to me? My relationship, my career, my health? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yes.
Number six, does it bring peace?
Amen.
Even when the Lord brings conviction, he also brings peace. Though we will face times when we are unsure which path to take, the Lord speaks calm, steadiness, patience, endurance, and peace over our circumstances. No matter how messy things get, you can still find peace in God.
Amen.
No matter how anxious or depressed or off balance we feel, feelings are not truth. Number seven, has he sent confirmation?
Ooh.
For life-changing decisions, God may also send confirmation that you're on the right path. It can be through a dream, like in Job 33:14-15, it says, for God speaks again and again through people who do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. How many have had a dream from God? And it's not always easy to interpret because apparently God has quite the sense of humor. I was listening to a guy who does dream interpretation, and he said he had a dream one time, and there was a person and there was a skunk, and in the dream, because so-and-so was a stinker. So
I thought that.
And God is creative, and we just, again, we need to be open enough to hear it. Sometimes God will send a person to speak to you in passing on the very thing you were praying for. And that person probably has no idea that they're confirming. As Christians, we must seek his voice with great intentionality. If we follow his lead, we know that we will always be in the hands of a shepherd who seeks to care for us and keep us out of danger. When we learn to follow his voice, we can quickly cast away every thought that is not from him. And this was 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Just because your mind thinks it doesn't make it true.
Amen.
And we have the ability to turn the dial and change the channel and tune in to the right voice. In this, the believer is empowered to live the life that God has called them to from the beginnings of the earth without fear. So again, John 10:27 tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If anyone is curious about the author to that article, her name is Victoria Riolano. R-I-O-L-L-A-N-O. And it was on ibelieve.com. 7 questions to help you recognize the voice of the shepherd.
Thank you.
I feel like that was a lot of information. I don't know. I tried not to make it too overwhelming, even though I was overwhelmed trying to put it together. That was part of my problem yesterday. There was so much really good information. What do you leave in and what do you take out and how do you find the important parts and what's important to one person might not be important to another person, and I made myself overwhelmed and I didn't need to. So the point of that is we are sheep. We need to listen to God's voice. He's always talking. Let's take a minute and ask what Holy Spirit wants us to get out of this. God, we thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for talking to us all the time, never giving up on us, and giving us the ability to tune into your voice. Thank you, Lord, that you are a kind and loving parent, teaching us how to be kind and loving to one another. Thank you for your lessons that remind us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to take care of your kids. It's the little things. It's still those little things, a smile, a handshake, a hug. The things that we don't think are huge might be huge to other people, people who need that contact. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your nonstop communication. In Jesus' name, amen.